Amen. You may be seated and turn in your Bibles, if you will, to the book of James. The book of James, chapter 1 and verse 16 through verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 16 through 18 is what we'll be looking at here this evening. And I've enjoyed this study thus far in the book of James. And there has been a lot said about this book, and there's a lot more to go. A lot more to be said about this book, and it's just a wonderful book of the Bible, and pray that it will be a help to each one of us. James chapter 1, starting in verse 16 and reading down through verse 18, the Bible says this: "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll get started here this evening. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight, and Lord, we do thank you, Lord, that you are a firm foundation. Lord, as we sang about a little, just a few moments ago, Lord, about how our anchor holds. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for having a secure place in which our anchor can hold if it's being held by you. Lord, I pray that you would hold us fast, Lord, through all the storms of life. I pray, dear God, that you would help us, Lord, to keep our eyes on you. And as we heard about this morning, Lord, to see the value in those storms and the value in chastisement and all of those things. Lord, I pray that you'd be with this message tonight. I pray that each one of us would draw closer to you. Lord, that you would guide and direct my thoughts and my words. And we ask all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, I think we would all agree that when we think about people that we know and people that we see as complete strangers, I think we would realize that there is quite a difference between those two relationships, if you will. If you see someone that you've known for many years, you're going to look at them differently than you are just a complete stranger. If you know someone for a long time, then you're going to know things about them. You're going to know things that they've done, things that they've said, the way that they act, the way that they talk, and those types of things. And a complete stranger is someone that we do not know about. Now, here in this passage, notice there, it says in verse 17, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights." And it starts talking to us about who God is and what this means here, "with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us the word of truth." And starts telling us about God in this passage here. When it comes to our friends or close acquaintances, we could say that we know them. And based on how well we know them, we can recognize them by some things that they do. Some people we've interacted with, we've gotten to know so well that we recognize them. And if we just heard a statement, we would say, that sounds like it would be something that so-and-so would say. Or we see some work done, we could say, it looks like so-and-so has been here working. Or we see a signature, we can tell by seeing a signature over and over again whether or not it was that person that signed that not. And we're going to be looking at a truth here tonight. And I want to preach to you a message that I have entitled this: Do We Recognize God? Do we recognize God? Now, we can recognize people. We can recognize them by what they do and how they act and all of those things. But do we recognize God? As believers, when we see things in this world and as we see the way that God works, do we recognize that God is working? Notice there in verse 17, "in every good gift and every perfect gift," do we see that he is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness or shadow of turning? Do we recognize God in the things that are around us? One of the first times me and my family came here to this building, it was in January of 2020. And that was just before the world got thrown for a loop with this COVID mess in March. It was a couple of months before that. And when we walked into the building here, walked into the restroom there. And as soon as I walked in, I had this thought and I asked one of the men here, I said, "Has Clarence Moore been here?" And they said, "Yeah." I said, did he design and do the bathrooms? And they said, "Yes, he did." I said, "I can tell that because I've seen his work. I've seen some things that he's done." We've talked about some other things that he's done around the building, been a great help here. But I recognized that because I had seen his work before. I had met him. I was able to recognize what I knew to be true about him. But let me ask us this question. Though we can recognize people on the physical level and recognize a face that we see or a statement that we hear or work that we see happening, why is it and how often do we miss what God is doing? How often do we miss who God is, and why do we fail to recognize him in so many things that are going on around us? Why do we miss what God is doing? It's simply because we are not striving to know him the way that we should be. We should be striving to get to know more and more about God. Do we recognize God? It's my prayer tonight that we will see some things about God in this passage here, and that God will help us to begin to get to know him better. You know, we could know all of the people in this world as far as celebrities and all of that, and you can get to know about them and know their life inside and out. It's everywhere. It's posted everywhere and all of that, but that is nothing in comparison to getting to know who our God is. So notice here, first of all, do we recognize God? Do we recognize God by his correction? I want you to look at verse 16 here. It says this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Now here in verse 16, we see a simple yet a profound order here from Pastor James and to the scattered believers. And through verse 13 through 15, it says this, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." So he goes through talking about sin, talking about the way that that man is tempted, and saying you cannot blame that on God because God will not tempt you to sin. And then he gets there in verse 15. He says, "When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, it bringeth forth death." And then he challenges them here. He charges them, if you will. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." What is he saying in these verses before? Well, it's the same truth that we discussed going through those verses, as he was telling them that temptations are going to come. People are going to try to discourage you. There are going to be battles that you have to face. There are going to be times of uncertainty. There will be times at which you have a lot of questions. And he tells them here, do not err. That word err, it comes from the Greek word planao, which means this, to roam. It means to wander. It means to go astray. There's an awful lot of times that believers who were once on fire for God, because something did not go their way, because something went a different way than what they said that it was supposed to go, or someone treated them some way, or whatever it may be, that they have begun to roam. And that roaming has been away from God. And he's telling them here, he says, do not roam, do not go astray. Can you see the urgency in James' tone here as he says, do not err, as he's writing this letter to them, and he's warning these believers to stick to what they know. Do not go searching for something else. Do not go searching for some hidden truth. Everything that you need is found between the words of Scripture. You need to go to God. Do not go to the world for answers. Go to your heavenly Heavenly Father, do not go to books to figure life out. Go to the book, which is the Word of God. That's where we need to go. He's telling them, do not err. And he warned them about sin. He warned them about the judgment of sin. And even in the life of a believer, sin brings about death. Now, in a believer, of course, it will not bring eternal death. We know that we are safe and secure in the hand of God. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, eternal life is a current possession. We already possess eternal life. But a believer who is living in unconfessed sin, understand that sin will have negative effects upon your life. And it will ruin your life and ruin your testimony because of that unconfessed sin. You know, we should all praise the Lord as we went through these first several verses there through these last few studies that we've done. We've talked about the way that God corrects and the way that God brings different things along our way, testing and those types of things. We should praise the Lord for that. We talked about it this morning, the value of chastisement. But understand, we should praise the Lord for His correction because if you're anything like me, understand that we know God well for His correction, not because He's too hard on us, but because we're sinful. And God cares for us so much that He corrects us, He chastises us, like we heard this morning. When we sin, we are to be corrected. You know, it never ceases to amaze me how believers, we have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us. He's there to help us live the Christian life. He empowers us. He guides us through decisions. And even when He says, do not do that, we do it anyway, and we get corrected by God, get disciplined by God, and then we get mad at God for disciplining us. The Holy Spirit was there. He was telling us, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Don't be involved in those things. These things are not glorifying. These things are. Lay those things aside and pick these things up. And we say so many times, well, I want to do it my way. And then God corrects us, and for some reason we get mad at God. We've all been there. We do that more often than we would like to admit. But praise the Lord for His correction. You know, it wasn't God's fault that we sinned. We should not get mad at God for it, no, but we should be disgusted with ourselves and mad at the devil, amen? Realizing that the devil is nothing more than someone who wants to steal our joy. He wants to defeat us, and we need to understand that God wants what's best for us. Look at Psalm 119, if you will. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 in verse 11. Or Psalm 119, if you want to learn about the Word of God, read Psalm 119. All through that chapter, it is just packed full with truths about the Word of God. Psalm 119 in verse 11, the Bible says this, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." We need to hide God's Word in our heart. When we sin, when we go against what God has told us to do, when we commit those acts that are against the commandments of God, understand that's because we chose our way over God's way. He says, "I will hide God's word in my heart that I might not sin against thee." We need God's word to guide us and direct us. The Holy Spirit warns us over and over. God's trying to guide us. But what happens when we have that sin in our life? It's when we begin to err. It's when we begin to go astray, when we're just wandering about, and therefore we need to be corrected. As you read Psalm chapter 23, you read of the rod and the staff, and both of them can be used for correction, but both of them also can be used to show love for the sheep as well. The rod will be used if a sheep is getting out of line. The shepherd can reach over and he will hit that sheep, but then also as those sheep are coming into the fold, the the shepherd will tap them on the back as they're coming in. What's he doing? He's taking count, making sure they're all accounted for. We need to praise God for his correction. We should praise the Lord rather than getting mad at God. We should try something new. Amen. We should praise him for that. Let's praise the Lord for his correction, because he knows what's best for us. And just as we recognize a close friend of ours by what they do, we as the children of God need to recognize God by his correction. It doesn't need to be if we sin and God corrects us, we don't need to get mad at God for that. No, but what we need to do is realize, I have sinned against God. I have done this thing that is against the word of God. Thank you, Lord, so much for correcting me. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this to my attention, and confess those sins unto God and praise the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We don't need to get mad at him. No, we need to recognize God through correction. Don't allow correction from God, something that God is trying to use to keep you close to himself and to keep you safe. Don't allow that to be something that drives you further away from God. You know, sometimes God uses other brothers and sisters in Christ to correct us. We see, of course, through the Bible, and there in the Old or in the New Testament, we read that we are to try to restore such an one. If one has sinned, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. That needs to be our attitude. But if someone sins against us, the Bible says that we are to go to them. If they don't hear it, then you go with a couple of people and with many witnesses, and it continues on from there. Oftentimes, that is God's way of bringing to our attention the sin that we have committed. That's a way of God correcting us. But too often, and unfortunately, it happens more often than not, we would rather get mad at God and mad at the person that brings it to our attention than realizing God's faithfulness through that. You know what? That's right. I was wrong. I shouldn't have done that. And I see that the Lord is using this in my life, but there's only one of two ways that we can look at that situation. We're either going to recognize God through it, or we're going to get mad at God. He says here in this passage, do not err. Do not begin to wonder through all of these trials and tribulations that you're going through, these temptations, these tests, and all of those things. Do not wonder about. Do not go searching for some other truth. We need to recognize God by his correction. Notice another way in which we can recognize God in verse 17 is this. We can recognize him by his charity. His charity. Look at verse 17. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, this word that, or this this verse that we just read, it has a word in it, and this word is mentioned two times, and we love this word. It's the word gift. You read that, every good gift and every perfect gift. Every single one of us enjoy gifts. We enjoy that. It's not something that we say, well, I don't enjoy getting gifts. I've never met someone that did not enjoy getting a gift. Now, there are some people that are shy and all of that, and they don't want the attention and those things. They'll, don't get me a gift, but on the inside, they want a gift. Amen. We all do. We love gifts. We love receiving those types of things. It's the word gift here, and we're coming up on the holiday season very shortly, and if my math is not failing me, here's a shout out for you. 84 days till Christmas. 84 days. Amen. All the kids are excited. All the kids say amen. All the parents say, oh me. Amen. But 84 days. There will be gifts. And we'll be talking about the greatest gift. Of course, around that time, we talk about the God of heaven sending his son as a gift for us. And of course, being born of a virgin and laid in a manger. And we go through that great story there. What a great truth it is. The greatest gift that was ever given to you and me. But here we see the word gift, and though it is mentioned two times in this verse, the words here, the word gift, and notice it says good gift and perfect gift, they have slightly different meanings based on those preceding words there. You have a good gift and you have a perfect gift. As we look at this verse, notice we see every good gift. This is not only speaking of the gift itself, but it is speaking about how the gift is given. You know, it's amazing for us to think about the gifts that God gives to us. When you think about even the breath in our lungs, every breath is a gift from God. We don't deserve it, but God gave it to us anyway. I believe that would qualify as a gift, amen? Our eyesight, our voice, and our hearing, and all of those things, they are gifts from God, and God gives those things to us, and praise the Lord for that. But this truth of this good gift that is talking about there, it is speaking of a free gift. Now, if a gift is not free, then it's not a gift. Amen. It becomes a wage at that point. It's speaking of a free gift. This is the truth that will separate Bible believers from all false religions. The truth that it is a free gift from God. God gave it, and it is free for us. Trust Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say we have to work our way to heaven. When God gave His Son to die on the cross for us, Christ died, He was buried, He rose again, He ascended into heaven. It was a gift, and it was a gift that was given by grace and given to everyone has had the breath of lung, or the breath of life in their lungs. However, there are many people, even good people, who claim to have to work your way to heaven, or that you have to do things to stay saved. But if that were true, then salvation would not be free. Do we recognize God in the gift? How often do we think about the gift that God has given to us? How often do we think about the day and the time in which we were saved, when we trusted Christ as our personal Savior? How often do we think about that? Not just saying, well, I'm saved. No, but remembering where we were. Remembering who we were before salvation. And realizing what Christ did for us. You see, it is a free gift. We see that there. And then also we see this phrase, every perfect gift. That perfect gift there, this is speaking of the gift itself, not how it was given, not just that it was given freely. That's what we see in every good gift, but every perfect gift is the gift itself. When someone buys us a gift, oftentimes we will say something like this: well, that was exactly what I wanted. That's exactly what I asked for. And every year around the holidays, my mom will send us a text, and she'll send it out to all of me and my brother and sister and things like that. And in that text, it says this: go online and create a list of the things that you would like to have for Christmas. Oh, and also do the same thing for all the kids. Now, for me, I can go on and I can choose 5 or 6 things and be done with it. Well, the kids, not only are they going to choose about 1,000 different things, but they want this one. And I want that one because it's that color, and this one because it's this color, and all of those things. And when we get there for Christmas, and my parents have it for the grandkids and all of that, and they open those gifts and they realize that's exactly what I wanted. This is what I desired. I asked for this thing, and that is what I got. Understand this, though. Though in our mind that is the perfect gift, when it comes to salvation, understand that God gave us what we needed, not what we said we wanted. He gave us what He knew we needed. Mankind did not ask Christ to come and die on the cross. What did mankind want when Christ came? They wanted to be delivered from Roman oppression. But God gave them exactly what they needed. He gave them a free gift of salvation. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Praise the Lord. He had the gift purchased with his blood prepared on the cross of Calvary. And it's ready and it's waiting for you. If you've never accepted that gift, realize you can trust Christ today and realize that salvation is available to you through God's grace. He freely gave this gift, and it's the perfect size for you and the perfect size for me. It is the perfect gift. Believers here tonight, when is the last time we truly thanked God for our salvation? We should not allow that to grow stale in our life. We should not allow it to be something that we have to go back to because we haven't thought about it in so long. We have to go back and try to remember things. It should be fresh in our mind all the time because it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to us. Realizing that our sins are forgiven and we have a home in heaven. When's the last time we thought about our salvation, not just in the general sense, but for what it truly is? Do we recognize God through people getting saved? Do we recognize the way that God is working and people are drawing closer to God and all of that? Do we recognize God through our day today witnessing? You see, there are many people that we pass every day and we rarely witness, but I truly believe that if we truly recognize God and his free gift, then I would be more likely to share that with others if I kept that afresh and anew in my mind, not being so bogged down with all the things that are going on. If I truly recognize God for the gift that he has given, then we would do more witnessing. We would share our testimony more. If we would recognize God, we would be more likely to share it with others. Being in the presence of unbelievers should cause us to recognize God through his charity. Whether we're with family members or friends or our coworkers, whatever it may be, being with someone who is not saved, we should recognize God in that and realizing God has me here for a purpose. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Do we recognize God through his correction? Do we recognize God through his charity? And notice thirdly here this evening, notice, do we recognize God through his character? You know, there is no amount of study that a person could do of the Word of God and come to the point where they truly understand God. There is no amount of study you could do to truly understand the love of God, the person of God, and the grace of God and all of those things. You could not do that much study in a lifetime. He is beyond our comprehension. But the word character that we're talking about this evening, it is this: the distinguishing qualities of someone or something. The way that God is and who God is, understand, he is the only one who's like that. No one on earth is like God is. No one is as righteous. No one is as loving. Our God is full of character, and we should study God. Do we recognize him for who he is? Now, we all know people that we would say, well, they are quite the character. And sometimes that's a good thing. Sometimes that's a funny thing. Sometimes that's not such a good thing. Amen. But we all know people like that. But the character of God is amazing. And when we study God, when we strive to know more about God, not just his name, not by just what he's done in the past, but by who he is, then we will recognize him more often than we currently do, realizing that God is working today. You know, as we come in here and we gather to sing praises unto our Lord and hear the word of God preached, we should understand that God is working in the hearts of his people. He's doing that. But so many times we come into the house of God and it's just a check off the list. Well, I went to church today. I was in Sunday school and Sunday morning and Sunday evening today and just checking it off the list. There is so much more to the Christian life than just checking it off the list. We are to get to know who God is. When we see that God is gracious, we will recognize Him through His acts of grace. When we see that He is generous, we will recognize Him by the blessings that we receive. When we see His provision, then we will begin to recognize God in all the ways that He provides for us. When we study God and when we get to know God, we will be amazed at how often we recognize God in all of the things around us. If we start to study just a little bit about God, just looking at the grace of God, I can guarantee you that every single day you are going to be more in tune in where God's grace is shining through in your life, because we're getting to know God. But many times we go throughout our day not even realizing all the ways in which God was gracious to us, all the ways in which God provided for us, all the ways in which God kept us safe. We fail to recognize God in many things throughout our day. God needs to be first and foremost in our life. Look at Psalm chapter 19, if you will. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19, we're going to read verse 1 through 14. Psalm 19, verse 1 through 14. The Bible says this: "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath He set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber and rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit to the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer." As we go through that chapter there, what is it doing? It's pointing out many different characteristics of God. Many characteristics of what God has created, and we see all through there just beautiful things that we miss day in and day out. Also in Psalm 66, I'm going to read through this passage here. It says, "Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. All the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. Come and see the works of God. He is terrible in his doing toward the children of men. He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. He ruleth by his power forever. His eyes behold the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. O bless our God, ye people, and make the voice of his praise to be heard. which holdeth our soul in life, and suffereth not our feet to be moved. For thou, O God, hast approved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. I will go into the house with burnt offerings. I will pay thee my vows, which my lips have uttered and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, and with the incense of rams. I will offer bullocks with goats, Selah. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. All throughout the book of Psalms, you're going to find praises, not just in what God has done, but in what God was doing at that time in the life of the psalmist. In those passages and through many other passages, we see that God is everywhere and he's working in everything. But in order for us to recognize him, we must be studying him. We must be looking for him, noticing him here in this part of our life and in that part of our life. It's amazing how many times we will see someone and I've done this in the store, even in Walmart. I will see someone that I know, and oftentimes I'll look across the aisle or whatever, and I'll see someone, I'll recognize them. We may walk within a couple of feet of each other, and they have no idea that I'm there because of that thing called a cell phone, and they're walking through like this. A person they know is standing right next to them. A person they know is walking right by. Not because I'm anybody, but it's somebody that I know. It's an acquaintance of mine. And yet, because of what's happening on that screen, they will miss that acquaintance who is right beside them. We've all been there. But what a convicting thought it is to realize that's how we treat God every day of our life. When we're not recognizing God for who he is and for what he's done and for what he's doing in our life. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and yet we act as though he's not even there. Well, I've just got so much going on. Well, I've just got to run here and I've got to run there. And we neglect the portion of scripture when it says, be still and know that I am God. It's okay to be busy. It's a good thing to be busy. But we cannot be so busy that we fail to recognize God and what's going on around us. Many times we're running around trying to get things done, trying to get tasks accomplished. And though we are busy, we're missing the greatest friend we ever had. And many things that happen, we don't even notice God. Can I encourage us tonight? Can I give us a challenge here this evening? Let's make it a point in our throughout our everyday life, and let's ask the Lord to help us to recognize God more in the things that he's doing all around us. Let's not allow ourselves to be so consumed with this world and as we saw there, erring and just wandering about and all of those things. Let's not allow ourselves to be so consumed with the task at hand that we miss our best friend, our Heavenly Father, the one who gave so much for us. Many times we'll say, well, I think I recognize God in things. Well, let me ask you this question, a few questions. When's the last time you saw God in the wind blowing through the leaves? I'm not talking about something spooky or something supernatural, if you will. People have visions and all that kind of stuff they try to convince themselves of. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the working of God, seeing how God does those things. Just the wind blowing through the trees. What about when's the last time we recognized God in the beautiful sunrise or the beautiful sunset? Realizing, my God did that. My Heavenly Father painted that picture. We have a beautiful lookout each evening, as long as it's not a real cloudy time, right here behind our house, being able to look at the sunrise out here, of course, over the farmland and all of that, and it's beautiful. And my wife probably has 500 or 600 pictures on her phone of that sunset, and but it's a beautiful thing just to watch what God is doing. What about the waves in the sea? It's a powerful force. When was the last time we recognized God in that? What about the changing of seasons? I don't know if you've noticed or not, but leaves are already changing. Fall is here. The mums are in full bloom. Amen. We see the changing of seasons, and we may say some things like, wow, that's beautiful, or just look at that landscape over there. But when's the last time we recognized God in that? What about the way that God blesses us? What about His graciousness towards us? What about His love? Do we recognize God? So first of all, do we recognize God through His correction? Secondly, do we recognize God through His charity, the gifts that He gives us? Thirdly, do we recognize Him through His character? And lastly, and very quickly here, do we recognize Him through His care? Look at verse 18 of our passage, if you will. The Bible says this: of His own will begot He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. We see here in this verse that God cares for us. He gave us a way to be saved. He loves us. He, by His own will, begot us, not because of what we deserve, but because of who He is. When's the last time we recognized Him through that? The word begot there is what we see in the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, I'll turn there quickly. John chapter 3, I'll get there eventually, amen. And verse 3, the Bible says this: Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. What we see there is that a person can be born again. That's because our God cares for us. There in that passage, it says that He begot us with the word of truth. He gave us what we did not deserve simply because He cares for us. So through all of those things that we've discussed, we see that God's signature is on all of those things. He is the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness. That means that He's not changing. There's not things that that God did at one time that He's not able to do today. God, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He can work through our lives, but we need to recognize His signature on things. Notice, He begot us by the word of truth. Church, for too long, believers have owned a copy of the word of God. They have read it. They've heard it preached week in and a week out. Yet somehow we have failed to see God in it. Anytime the word of God is opened and a truth is proclaimed, whether it's in our personal devotion time and Bible study, or whether it's from a pulpit like this one here, anytime the Word of God is open, God desires to speak to us. And if we don't see God in that passage, it's not because God's not there. It's because we're not looking. It's because we're not recognizing God for who He is. He begot us by the word of truth. And I'm not talking about just knowing that God exists. The Bible says even the devils know that God exists. They fear and tremble. I'm not talking about just realizing He exists. I'm talking about recognizing God by who He is. When we read the word of God, it should be the most important thing going on at the moment, because we're getting to know more and more about Him. We are begat by the word of truth, and we get to know how to recognize God by reading the word of truth. So let me ask you this this evening. Do we recognize God? A simple challenge for us this evening is this: that we see who God is. Though we go through trials and temptations and all of those types of things, though we see these that people are tempted, and we can't blame that on God. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Though we see that all of those things are going to happen, do we recognize God through those things, but also through the little things? Do we see him for who he is? Do we see him as Isaiah did when he saw him high and lifted up? Do we recognize God throughout our day? Do we see him when times are easy? Do we recognize him when times are hard? We cannot allow ourselves to believe that knowing God exists is enough to live victoriously. If we are to live the Christian life as we've been commanded to and are being taught to here in the book of James, we must recognize God for who he is. But that means we must be consciously aware of who he is, what he is like, and what he is doing. You know, there are many beautiful things that happen all around us, and even when we're out and about in the public realm, if you will, and someone makes a comment about the changing of leaves or the beauty in something, you know, it's okay for a believer to say, it is beautiful. Isn't it great that God created that? You know, it's okay to say that. Oh, well, I might offend someone. Well, if you don't go out and witness and you don't point souls to Christ, understand this, that you're disobeying God. Would you rather offend a man or disobey God? You see, these are things in which all of us, if we are just aware of God, if we just recognize God in all the things that he is doing, it'll be amazing at how often God brings things to our mind. In the rivers that are running and all of those things, even in the rain and the sunshine, recognizing God with whom is no variableness. We can go through life realizing there is a God, realizing that God exists, but we will never get to know God if we do not study God. We will never get to recognize God if we do not know what he is like. So let me ask you this, in your life here this evening and in the last few days or weeks, months, maybe even years, when's the last time you truly recognized God for who he is? That he is the Father of lights, that that there is no variableness with him, that every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It is from our Father. All of these things that go on around us, all of this beauty, it is the hand of God at work in those things. When's the last time we recognize him? Let's each and every one of us ask the Lord to help us to recognize him in more ways than we currently do. And that will cause us to praise him, because when you recognize the works of God, you can't help but see the beauty in what God has done and how good he is to us.